Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Is everybody enjoying the rain? We need it bad. So whether or not you're enjoying it or not, we'll thank God later for it. So rain is important. It soaks into the ground and then what happens to it? We use it for well water. The trees need it. The trees soak it up, right? Plants soak it up. It's kind of convenient. That's kind of what I'm going to be talking about today. But I want to start off with a story. We're going to start this one off. Once upon a time, there was a man that grew up very poor. He told himself that someday his family would never be poor. So he worked all his life, and he made a lot of money. And he realized that he had so much money over time that he forgot what it was like to be poor. He accomplished his goal. His family would never be poor. So he was now a very rich man, and he was so busy that he started to realize that he had forgotten his roots. He forgot where he came from. He forgot that he was poor. So one afternoon, the rich man decided to take a ride in his limousine and see what it was like in his old neighborhood. As he was riding through the neighborhood, because he wasn't driving, he had a chauffeur, he saw two men along the roadside. And they were eating grass. And he said to himself, "Man, I thought I was out of touch with the grassroots, but this is ridiculous." He was so disturbed that he ordered his driver to stop. And he got out to investigate. He asked one man, "Why are you eating grass?" And the man replied, "We don't have any money for food. We're poor. We have to eat grass." So the rich man says, "Well then, you can come with me to my house and I'll feed you." And he says, "But sir, I have a wife and two children with me. They're over there under that tree." "Oh, well, bring him along," the rich man says. Turning to another poor man, he announced, "You come with us also." The second man, in a pitiful voice, then said, "But sir, I also have a wife and six children with me." He said, "Bring them all. Bring them all." And so they all climbed into a car, which was no easy task, even for a car as large as a limousine. And once underway, one of the poor fellows turned to the rich gentleman and said, "Sir, you are so kind, and how can we thank you for this and taking all of us with you?" And the rich man replied, "I'm glad to do it. You'll really love my place. The grass is over a foot high." The rich man had forgotten his roots. He was no longer able to sympathize with the situation that the people were in. This is especially troubling because at one point in his life, he was in the same situation. He used to be so poor that he often went without food. But he suddenly found himself uprooted from logical reality. The last time I spoke to you guys, I talked about bearing fruit. And the time before that, I talked about the seeds of the heart and seeds growing in your heart. And so, continuing in the theme I'm going to explore with you today about roots. The title of the message is called Rooting. Rooting. That's an interesting word. And to be honest, I have never considered before that the word rooting is any more than a synonym for cheering. I never looked at it any deeper than that. It's just rooting. Who are you rooting for? Who are you rooting for? My team is already out of the playoffs this year, so I'm not really rooting for anyone right now. But the Seahawks are playing later this afternoon, so there's a good chance that Larry will be rooting today. But how did this word come about? When you root for something or someone, you're saying you're invested into their success. You want them to win so much that if they were to win, it feels like you win, even if you didn't really gain anything from it. If you root for a team and they lose, how are your Rams doing, Alex? Oh, sorry. Cheap shot. I'm sorry. If you root for a team and they lose, sometimes if you're really rooting for them with your heart, it feels like you lost. But are you in the game? Did you contribute anything towards the effort? Did you sacrifice anything? No, you probably didn't. But some people can just be crushed, disappointed, and become really depressed if their teams lose. When Derek Carr came limping off the field a couple weeks ago, that was a crushing blow for anyone rooting for him or rooting for that team, the Raiders, because he's an important player that people placed a lot of hope on, and they were rooting for him, they were rooting for the team, and now they're disappointed. Did they lose anything? Well, they maybe lost getting to watch their team as much, but that's about it. But being rooted with something or someone means that you're on the same team and that you share your hope for growth. Even if there's no growth or you suffer loss, being rooted together means that you're invested in the same things that they are. A lot of us here, I know, read the book, Not a Fan, right? And the problem with sports is that it creates this idea that someone can root for the same team and not really be invested into it. If you're just a fan, you're not connected at the root. You're actually just picking fruit, taking the joy out of it from someone else. You're only taking what someone else has produced. But it makes you feel good, but you didn't do any of the work. You didn't pull any of those nutrients out of the ground. You didn't contribute to creating that fruit. And if you don't contribute to it, this is what happens. You get bored. You get tired of that fruit. That fruit becomes what once was sweet. Your taste buds get used to it. And then it's no longer sweet to you. So what do? You got to go find something that's more sweet or a different kind of sweet. So you start looking for other fruit that suddenly seems more appealing to you. Because you weren't part of the ground, the grassroots. You weren't part of the roots. You're not invested. When people choose this route, they'll just be wandering. They'll go from tree to tree to tree. and they'll never experience any growth for themselves. And most importantly, as I illustrated last couple weeks, you'll never produce any fruit of your own. The scriptures warn us of what happens to those who are not deeply rooted in Christ. If you can turn with me to Luke chapter 8, we're going to read verse 13. Jesus talks about that subject, what it means to be deeply rooted in Christ. It's a familiar passage, the parable of the sower, just a sneak peek of one element of that parable. Luke 8:13, it says, "They that are on the rock, which when they hear, receive the word with joy, these are the ones that have no root, which for a while they believe, but in time of temptation, they fall away." They have no root. In what Jesus taught about being rooted in the truth, we find that there are those who stay the journey in Christ in a good way. They're trying. They're believing. They're believing with their heart and with joy. They receive the truth with joy. Yet the truth is not rooted in them deeply enough. And they fall away. Trees, in this example, trees need roots to hold themselves up. The roots provide them the strength they need to withstand their own weight, the wind, and the storm. Some trees, such as the giant sequoias, have roots that don't go very deep. And if the roots don't go very deep into the ground, then this happens. The tree falls over. Roots didn't do their job. So how do these trees stay standing when these giant sequoias, they grow over to, they can be up to 300 feet high. They can go 300 feet tall in the air. They can weigh up to 2 million pounds. How do these roots hold them in place? Has anyone ever gone to Sequoia National Park? And have you seen the General Sherman tree? Looks like that. You can't really, it's like a panoramic, some kind of thing, because I don't think you could really take a picture of it like that. But you kind of get the idea with that. It's a huge tree. It's known as the largest living thing on Earth. It holds the record for being the largest living thing on Earth. If you could read the bottom there, it actually says that it's 52,500 cubic feet of tree volume. That is a lot of tree. So how does it stay upright when the roots don't go very deep? Well, there's two ways. First of all, even though the roots don't go very deep, they spread out really far. Each tree can occupy up to 1 acre of earth with just its roots. So to give you an idea, that's like maybe 2/3 of a football field in all directions. So the second thing these trees have going for them is that when if the roots are spreading out underground up to 200 feet away from the tree in all directions, then what happens? Do the roots run into anything? What do the roots bump into? It's just all earth? This tree, it's in a forest, right? You think those other trees that are near it there, you think they're more than 200 feet away? No way. They're close to each other. So when the wind blows, we find that the trees are actually doing something like that. This is a picture of it above ground. But you can see what these trees have done. They're standing next to each other. The roots have gone out. And now they've interlocked themselves with the other trees. So it gives them added strength. And so now when you have the wind blowing on this one tree, it's not like it's blowing on one tree anymore. It's not like the storm is beating down on this one tree. It's beating down on the entire forest. Because the entire forest is interlinked at the roots. I like that handshake picture there. The roots are shaking hands. Teamwork there. So it's an amazing thing that they do. It's a it's why you see. I think I read there's about 65 sequoia forests, redwood forests, on Earth, and they're all together. They don't survive by themselves. And their roots are intertwined with each other. So let's ask ourselves, are we spreading out our roots in Christ? Are we interlocking our roots with others so that we're stronger in our faith? Or do we let each wind of doctrine that we hear try to blow us over? It's time to get more deeply rooted in Jesus. So often we root ourselves in the things of this world, and we find that we start to faint, start to get weak, because we're not strong enough spiritually. In our scripture reading that Eric read, thank you, it talks about trees or plants, or it talks about when you're being planted by yourself. When and where they're planted. And being careful. We have to be careful where we plant ourselves. It says, "Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord." And it compares that man to a shrub in the desert. You guys recognize that shrub? What do we call those? Those are tumbleweeds. And there's a picture of the root of a tumbleweed. What do you notice about that root? It doesn't go very deep, does it? There's not much to it. It's actually very likely to break off. And that's what happens when the wind comes upon a tumbleweed. The root just breaks off because the root is dried up. The only time, it talks about these shrubs in Jeremiah 17:6. It says, "He is like a shrub in the desert, and he shall not see any good come out of it. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land." So these shrubs, they come up in the desert. They come up because of the rain. And it only rains in the desert a few times a year. Sometimes less than a few. And the water from this rain, it gets used up. And these shrubs pop up. But what happens to their root? Their root withers away because Their source of water is limited and not consistent. And so he goes on and he compares. He says, that's the way a cursed man is. He's depending on his flesh for strength. And he compares it to, and he says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is in the Lord. Because he is like a tree planted by water. And I think in Psalms it says, a tree planted by the rivers of water. I love that psalm. That's Psalms 1, right?
Yep.
Because the source is there. If a tree is planted by a river of water, then it has a continual source of energy. It has a life source. Our life source is when we depend on Jesus for all our needs, when we trust in Him. It goes on to say that the tree, it sends out its roots by the stream, and it does not fear when heat comes. It's going to get really hot, things are going to start to dry up, summer's going to come. That tree ain't worried about it, because there's water under the ground. It's next to a river that it can replenish itself with. And its leaves remain green. It's not anxious in a year of drought. And it will not cease bearing fruit. It'll continue to bear fruit. So, I wanted to compare these rootless people to something that I've seen, something I've experienced, something we've all experienced. I call them fake Christians. You guys ever met a fake Christian? Fake Christians don't have roots. And I think there's about three different ways that you can spot a fake Christian. And what's interesting about this tumbleweed, I should put it back up there, but I'm not going to, is that it's really fake. You know, if you see it, if you've seen them before they start tumbling, like they're really green, they get really big, you know, some of them are huge, you know. If you walk through a bunch of them, it's like one can be like the entire, it looks like a giant car or something. And I see those and I'm like, man, that's a lot of plant, but it's so fake because it's only attached by this little tiny root. And you know what's going to happen as soon as it dries up, there's not going to be anything left of it, and it's going to start rolling in the wind. And so the first way you can point out the tumbleweeds is you have to know that fake faith, it gives to get noticed. So if somebody is just trying to get noticed, that's fake faith. They're just trying to call attention to themselves. That's one way you can spot that. And it talks about that in 1 Corinthians 13:3. It says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And if I give away all I have, and I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. So it's this seemingly upright Christian that does all these things, making a lot of noise, but doesn't have love. And it means nothing. It's a tumbleweed rolling in the wind. The second thing that you can notice in a fake Christian. And I think we're this one's tough because we're all guilty of this. Faith performs prayers for people. Fake faith performs. So when we say these words, we say, oh, Heavenly Father, come before us and be with us, shine your light upon us. We say all these buzzwords that we say over and over again, right? Like we're putting on a performance, right? If you go to your dad and you want to ask him to take you to the park, do you go to your dad and say, oh, Heavenly Father, I want to do your will, and can you just please take me? You don't talk to your dad like that. You don't talk to somebody that you know like that. And we perform for God instead of relating to Him. Galatians 1:10 through 12 talks about this. It says, for I am now seeking the approval of man or of God. Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through the revelation of Jesus Christ. We can't perform prayers and have roots. We have to extend our roots towards the rivers of water to really get to know Christ and then truly pray to Him, truly talk to Him. We might just have to throw that word prayer completely out because we got it all messed up. We need to talk to God. We need to have that relationship with God. We don't have to fold our hands. He's in our thoughts, in our heart, in our mind all the time. We cannot discount that we're not praying to God when we're at work and something pops into our mind about God. When we're driving, when we're whatever we're doing, we don't ever count that as prayer. It is. It is prayer. It's your relationship with God. It's not a performance. The last one. If you want to spot a fake Christian, fake faith, it sacrifices to appear spiritual. It makes sacrifices. It does. We're talking about being a servant. We're talking about doing things for other people, but only if someone else is watching. Only if I think somebody's going to find out this good thing that I did. Matthew 6, 1 through 4 talks about that. It says, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Because God looks at the heart. He's going to see right through all that. He's going to see the real reason you did it. You cannot be fake with God. Verse 2, thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, that they receive their reward already. They've already got the reward when they got the admiration from men. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and that your Father, who sees you in secret, will reward you. fake Christians, they're like tumbleweeds. They have no root or very little root. And we need to be rooted in Christ. Ephesians 3:17 says, "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love." We're supposed to have Christ in our hearts and be rooted and grounded in love. Matthew 13:5 says, "Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up. And since they had no depth of soil, when the sun arose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away." If we're not rooted, we're going to find that we're just going to wither away. Colossians 2:6 says, "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." We have to desire the truth and grow strong in Christ. We have to be rooted and built up in Christ through being taught the truth. This isn't an easy process. It doesn't happen overnight. The process of being rooted, grounded, and settled in Christ requires a continual work for each one of us to do. This is what Paul says. He says, "And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled..." Come back to that word "settled." "And be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which ye have preached to every creature which is under heaven, wherefore I, Paul, am made a minister." He uses this word "settled." What's he talking about? He's grounded in faith and he's settled. Our being rooted and grounded in Christ, it keeps us settled. And if you look up the Greek definition, concordance, settled, it's also translated. It gives you synonyms like firm, unmovable, steadfast. Maybe rooted. Rather than being tossed to and fro, we're supposed to be firm, unmovable, steadfast. Other scriptures to take notice of. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Also, "But Christ, as a son over his house, whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm until the end?" Another verse. "For we are all made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." This is so intertwined in the Bible. It's so important that we become rooted with Christ. The Bible talks about it over and over again. And it uses this analogy with words like steadfast and confidence and unmovable. Trees don't move. They have to stay where they're at. But to survive, they need to be next to the river of life. Another verse. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Anyone who begins the journey in Christ, anybody accepts Christ as their Savior, must be securely, firmly rooted, or they'll fall away. Scripturally, that has been made clear. What we also need to understand is that we're talking about falling away. Not just someone who forgets to study the Bible one afternoon. We're talking about someone who just forgets about the Lord and the commitment they've made to Him. You can't be real with yourself and forget about the commitment that you've made to God. And that commitment includes love. It's not just all your works. It's the spirit behind the works. It's the spirit of the expression of love that you're reflecting from God in your relationship with Him. To others. Just like the redwood trees. You can't do it by yourself. You don't become 300 feet tall without a whole lot of roots supporting you from others, from other trees. It's easy to look back on the Israelites when you're reading the Bible and just pick at them and say, look how quickly they forgot. All those miracles that happened to them. How could they have forgot? How come they don't see the works of the Lord? But now, it's time for each of us to use that study for ourselves. And not just point at the Israelites and say, every 30 years they forgot. How do we look at ourselves and say, how am I going to keep from forgetting? How am I going to make sure that my roots go deep? Ask yourself some questions. Am I rooted enough not to follow my family to stand between the Lord and me? Am I rooted enough not to allow my worldly friendships to stand between the Lord and me? Am I rooted enough not to allow false doctrine to be taught and thereby ruin my relationship with the Lord? Am I rooted enough to not be persuaded to be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever? Am I rooted enough not to follow the wrong leaders? Being rooted, it really comes down to always having your affections above, toward God, not focused on things of this world. I have one more story to share and then we'll close. It's a story about three trees. And these three trees, they were growing on the hill. And They were getting pretty big. And as in many stories, like animals and trees, they can talk. So the first tree says to the others, "You know, I hope they come cut me down, because I'd really like to be turned into one of those really cool chests with the lid that hold treasure. That's what I want to. That's what I want to be. That's what the tree said." So then the second tree says, "Well, you know what? I want to be cut down too, but I want to be used to make this humongous ship that carries cargo across the sea, because that's really important. That's a really important necessary thing that needs to be done. And I want to be able to contribute towards something great like that." And then the third tree, it says, "Well, that sounds nice, but I don't want to be cut down. I want to grow really tall. I want to be the biggest tree. I want everybody, when they see me, that I would be something that everyone would point to and gasp in awe. Everybody's pointing to me." And so sure enough, the lumberjacks come in, and they knock down the first tree with the swipe of an axe, and they take the tree to the lumber yard. And then the second tree, same thing happens, gets cut down, taken to the lumber yard. It's going to be turned into something. Then the third tree, that didn't want to be cut down, is thinking, "Oh man, this is not good. I hope they don't cut me down. I hope this doesn't happen. They'll probably get what they want, but I can never get what I want if they cut me down." And it didn't stop them. They came and cut down the third tree as well, sent all the lumber to the lumber yard. Didn't seem like they were going to get what they wanted. The first tree, it actually gets turned into a trough. They took the wood and they turned it into a small trough that the animals could eat their food out of. And it wanted to be a chest that held the most valuable treasure. So the first tree didn't get what it wanted. Then the second tree's lumber, it gets turned into a tiny little boat. Little tiny fishing boat. That's not what it wanted. It wanted to be like this huge cargo ship that would carry all this important stuff across great oceans. But it got turned into a little fishing boat. The biggest tree, they didn't have a use for it. It got turned into lumber, but they never made anything with it. No one was ever going to point to that tree. So eventually, something happened with the trough. Turned out that when Jesus was born, they needed a place to put the baby Jesus into. And the lumber makers at the time didn't have enough lumber to make a cradle. So they just made a little manger, a trough, if you will. And this tree realized that it was suddenly holding the most valuable treasure that it could have ever gotten. About 30 years later, the lumber from the second tree that was used to be put in a little fishing boat, it got to witness a man walking on the water. And it carried the most precious cargo back to the shore when Jesus got back into the boat. And the last tree, when it came time to crucify Jesus, its wood was pulled out of the lumber pile and tied together and nailed to the Savior. And to this day, everyone points to that tree. It became a symbol of Christ. So you may not always get to be what you want to be. But God has a plan for you. And your roots have to go deep. They have to be interlocked together. This is just a fun story. But the point remains that your focus must be on your roots. You can't focus on the fruit. Because you don't produce fruit by focusing on the fruit. You can turn with me to Colossians. Read a couple more verses for you in closing. Colossians 3. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. Colossians 3, 1 through 4. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are all above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is in your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Brothers and sisters, let's be rooted so deeply and interconnected with each other that nothing can uproot us from the Lord. Can we do that? Can we strive for that? Extend your roots next to the rivers of living water. And I'll leave you finally with this last verse, Proverbs 12:3. It says, "No one is established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous will never be moved." God bless you.